This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Numbers rising. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Wednesday, January 26th. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The latest data indicate COVID deaths have jumped to more than 2,100 per day, the highest number since last February.
U.S. officials release more details about what the response will be if Russia invades Ukraine. Hear how export controls would be used.
In sports, the Baseball Hall of Fame opens its doors to Boston's Big Poppy, but slams it shut on Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds.
And how the crime spike in Atlanta is leading the wealthy Buckhead neighborhood to consider seceding from the city.
There have been lots of interactions between the police and the city government over how to behave, and so there have been lots of issues that have led basically to a huge spike in crime, and that ranges from a rise in murders and rapes to drag racing and shoplifting.
Cameron McWhirter at the Wall Street Journal on rising crime fueling a secession effort in Atlanta. Here's the latest on what the U.S. response might be if Russia invades Ukraine. Officials in Washington say the U.S. is prepared to impose import controls, like banning various products that use microelectronics based on U.S. equipment, software, or technology. As part of that, President Biden and his team are reportedly working to soften market shocks if Russia withholds energy supplies in retaliation.
Not only in terms of economic consequences and political consequences, but it'll be enormous consequences worldwide. This would be the largest, if he were to move in with all those forces, would be the largest invasion since World War II.
However, some big companies and business groups are pushing the White House and lawmakers to be cautious. A trade group representing Chevron, General Electric, and other big U.S. corporations that do business in Russia is asking the White House to consider allowing companies to fulfill commitments and to weigh exempting products as it crafts any sanctions. Multiple U.S. Coast Guard vessels and aircraft have been searching for more than three dozen people reported missing off the southeast coast of Florida. The Coast Guard believes it's a suspected human smuggling attempt gone awry. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
A man who survived by clinging to an overturned boat was discovered by a Good Samaritan. The survivor told authorities he left the Bahamas Bimini Islands on Saturday night in a boat with 39 other people. He said no one aboard was wearing life jackets. The vessel apparently capsized Sunday morning when it hit rough weather about 45 miles east of Fort Pierce Inlet, about midway between Miami and Cape Canaveral. There were 23-mile-an-hour winds at the time and 9-foot seas. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Migrants have long used the islands of the Bahamas as a stepping stone to reach Florida. They typically try to take advantage of breaks in the weather to make the crossing, but the vessels are often dangerously overloaded and prone to capsizing. There have been thousands of deaths over the years. The 7-day average for newly reported COVID deaths has reached nearly 2,200 a day, up about 1,000 from daily death counts 2 months ago, before Omicron was first detected. Meanwhile, the FDA is getting pushed back after revoking emergency authorization for antibody drugs from Regeneron and Eli Lilly, which it says don't work against Omicron. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
It's not 100%. We understand that. But you also don't even know when someone goes in whether it's Omicron or still the Delta. Yes, mostly in Florida, it's going to be Omicron at this point. But it's really a reckless decision.
In other news, the Biden administration is withdrawing an emergency private sector vaccination mandate after the Supreme Court blocked its implementation. That was the one affecting companies with 100 or more employees. One other note, an appellate judge has reinstated New York's indoor mask mandate after a separate court said the health department didn't have the authority to issue such a rule. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday, another stomach-churning day on Wall Street. Stock indexes fell, partly recovered, then tumbled again. in a second straight day of tumultuous trading. Part of that is anticipation of what path the Federal Reserve will announce regarding interest rates at the end of its two-day meeting this afternoon. Meanwhile, Wall Street continues to buzz about volatility, and here's the debate. Is the economy facing a recession, or is the stock market drop nothing but a temporary panic-fueled correction? Insight from Sabrina Escobar, trending news reporter at Barron's. Sabrina, what are we seeing?
These have been very rough weeks for the stock markets. You're seeing that, you know, last week the three major indexes have had the worst week since 2020. The S&P is down about 9%, the Dow is down about 6.5%, and the NASDAQ is down 14%. Even crypto is trading lower. So investors are clearly spooked, and that's led to a lot of debate about whether this is just a temporary dip, or, you know, a temporary panic-fueled correction, if you will, or whether we're looking at a longer-term recession.
So what do the experts say? I know you talked to a handful of folks and you got some competing opinions.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a lot of different views on it. One of the more pessimistic views is that we are looking at a recession. So Jeremy Grantham, who is the co-founder of the investment firm GMO, said that we're currently in the fourth super bubble of the last 100 years. So he defines a super bubble as a market bubble that encompasses all four major asset classes, from housing, equities, bonds, and commodities. And this is about to burst, is what he's saying. And that's obviously pretty dire for investors and for everybody at large. But there are some other takes that differ from that, right? They're saying, yes, this doesn't seem good, and it might last for a while, this correction, but we don't have the wider macroeconomic conditions to really create a long-term recession or even trigger a bear market, because those are two separate things, right? So, and it's also worth remembering that we just came from a recession. So in 2020, that's what happened when the stock market crashed, when we got the first COVID wave that feels like forever ago, yeah. But we've climbed away from that, and this stock market had its strongest year, you know, reaching new highs. So there's a lot of debate as to what goes next.
Mm. We're speaking with Sabrina Escobar, trending news reporter at Barron's. Her story is called "As Stocks Get Hammered, Is Wall Street Just Suffering Another Panic Attack?" Why is this not a recession?
Right. So, you know, for one, you have some pretty strong economic indicators. Again, all relative, because you're seeing really high inflation, but you're also seeing strong labor markets, and you're also seeing the stock market remain relatively strong given, you know, the wider circumstance. And so these analysts are saying that, you know, this is a panic attack and not a recession, because, you know, there's a lot of pressures that could be alleviated once Omicron kind of starts to subside. So we're seeing that, you know, supply chains might ease up, labor supply issues might also ease up. And moreover, you know, they're saying that this might not cause a bear market, because they're usually caused by recessions that are triggered by credit crunches or rising oil prices,
yeah,
which experts don't see happening in the immediate future, even if there are a little bit of, you know, stumble on the way. So right now there's a lot of tension with Russia and the Ukraine that they say, yes, that might lead to rising oil prices, but the U.S. might also ramp up its production in response to that. So it'll be kind of a give and take, and they don't see anything happening that is very drastic in the immediate future, right? And then another point to kind of hammer in is that a lot of the sell-off of the stock market has been fueled by speculative growth stocks. So a lot of tech stocks, a lot of, you know, stocks that are based off of the potential growth as opposed to their current valuation. And that isn't surprising given that there's been a lot of speculation in the stock market over the last year. So maybe now these stocks are just kind of regulating to their actual valuation, and, you know, it'll be able to come out on the other side with a better validation in the stronger market.
Thanks, Sabrina. Sabrina Escobar, trending news reporter at Barron's. Yesterday's trading continues an uneven start to the year for stocks, which has dragged the S&P 500 down 8.6%, on track for the worst month since March of 2020. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Biden cast a potential Russian invasion of Ukraine in stark historical terms, saying it would be the largest invasion since World War II.
There will be enormous consequences if he were to go in and invade, as he could, the entire country, or a lot less than that as well.
Biden's remarks reflect a growing consensus among experts that any conflict in Ukraine is unlikely to be confined to a small area or a short window of time.
Number two.
The Coast Guard is searching for 39 people missing for several days after a boat believed to be used for human smuggling capsized off Florida's coast en route to the Bahamas. Someone called the Coast Guard early yesterday after rescuing a man clinging to the boat 45 miles east of Fort Pierce. The man said he was with a group of 39 others that left the Bahamas on Saturday night. He said the boat capsized in severe weather and no one was wearing a life jacket.
Number three.
The number of people dying each day in the U.S. from COVID is now as high as it was during the Delta variant's peak, a grim figure that experts believe will rise. An average of over 2,000 people are dying from the virus every day. Most were older than 65 or unvaccinated. Chicago Health Commissioner Allison Arwadi.
Even if people do get a breakthrough COVID infection, vaccinated Chicagoans remain 5 times less likely to be hospitalized than unvaccinated Chicagoans.
Meanwhile, an appeals judge has restored New York's mask mandate a day after a judge in a lower court ruled Governor Kathy Hochul's administration lacked the constitutional authority to order people to wear face coverings. The appellate judge granted the state's request to keep the mask rule in place while Hochul's administration pursues an appeal.
Today, David Ortiz becomes the 4th Dominican-born member of the National Baseball Hall of Fame.
The announcement on the MLB Network as Ortiz was elected in his first turn on the ballot, but steroid-tainted stars Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens were denied entry to Cooperstown in their final year under consideration by the Baseball Writers Association of America. Ortiz, a 10-time All-Star, mostly with the Boston Red Sox, was named on nearly 78% of ballots cast.
All right, thank you, Jen. The way you use the internet has changed dramatically over the last decade, but security tools, for the most part, have stayed the same. Between your photos, finances, devices, and connections, your world is more online than ever. Aura provides complete digital security all in one easy-to-use app. Aura protects you from the worst of the internet so you can still enjoy the best of it with digital security protection to keep your online finances, personal info, and tech safe from threats. It gives me peace of mind to know Aura protects me from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and so much more with one simple subscription. All plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds, and experienced U.S.-based customer support is ready to help. For a limited time, Aura is offering our listeners a 30-day free trial when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get complete protection, huge savings, and a 30-day free trial. That's A-U-R-A, aura.com/Gordon. Aura, the new standard in digital security. Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Wednesday. We've got some new findings about financial infidelity among Americans who are married in a civil partnership or living with a partner. Insight from Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst at creditcards.com. Ted, give us numbers.
About a third of people who are married or otherwise living with a partner have committed some form of financial infidelity against this person. So we define that as spending more than their partner would be okay with, or maybe holding secret debt, secret credit card, secret checking account, secret savings account. This is a lot of people. And interestingly, it's a big deal. Most people say that financial cheating is just as bad, if not worse, than physical cheating.
Wow. So how do these numbers stack up? Because I know it's not the first time you've done this survey. I don't recall, like, I don't know what last year was or a couple of years ago.
The prevalence of financial infidelity has actually fallen a little bit, which I thought was kind of surprising. A couple of years ago, it was 44%. Last year, it was 40%. And now it's only 32%. I actually think the pandemic has maybe brought us closer in many respects, you know, hopefully closer emotionally, but also just closer proximity-wise. You know, frankly, I think it's been harder to cheat the past couple of years. I think that, you know, maybe this is a little bit of a silver lining here, is that people are communicating better about money. They're less likely to be siphoning off funds, you know, because I think financial infidelity happens for a lot of different reasons. I think some of it is that people have something to hide, you know, they're going out and doing something they shouldn't. But I think also sometimes it's just out of sight, out of mind. I think people are not great about communicating about money. We found in a different study that people would rather talk about their health, their weight, their political views, their religion. They'd rather talk about all that sensitive stuff than their credit card debt. And I think that we just need to get better about talking about money.
We're speaking with Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst at creditcards.com. They've got a new survey about financial infidelity just in time for Valentine's Day. Found, too, that some people perceive financial infidelity as worse than physical infidelity, cheating.
Yeah, so 42% said that they're just equally bad, and then 11% said that financial cheating is worse, and that leaves about 47% who said that physical cheating is worse. So it's actually a pretty close call there, and I think it shows how personal money is for a lot of people. I mean, look at it this way. It's hard enough to meet your financial goals when you're working together. It's so hard if somebody is siphoning off funds to either do their own secret spending or pay off their own secret debt, or maybe it's a secret, you know, pot of money in case the relationship doesn't work out. We just need to get better about acknowledging this. Now, yours, mine, and ours can work just fine. So if you agree that we're going to share some money and then we're going to each have our own for our own things, no questions asked, I think that works and can actually be healthy, and a lot of people are doing that. You just need to acknowledge the parameters. The one other thing, it just, you know, when to talk about it. That was the other sort of key category we asked about. Most people are not really ready to talk about their credit score, their debt, or their salary until they move in together, or sometimes even later. Sometimes it's not until they're engaged or married. I think we need to take the stigma out of talking about money. Not that you necessarily need to get into everything on the first date. I mean, I'm not saying that. But I think, you know, pretty early on, I think you could at least talk about the general parameters of sort of where you've been with money, where you want to go. I think a lot of people are waiting too long. And then I think that the silence can sort of help to breed some of the secrets in a way.
Thanks, Ted. Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst at creditcards.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Now, more than ever, where you get your news matters. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday, January 26. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. U.S. says there will be sanctions and export controls if Russia invades Ukraine. 39 people missing after a boat capsized off Florida. Investors await clues from the Fed this afternoon about interest rates. Leading Republicans release email excerpts that they say show Dr. Anthony Fauci knew COVID may have come from a lab in China. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi will run for re-election but didn't discuss leadership plans. Sean Payton quits as coach of the Saints, and the Texas teenager's big thank you to staff who treated her for cancer. That story in about 20 minutes. An increase in violent crime has spurred a movement in Atlanta's wealthiest and whitest neighborhood, Buckhead, to push harder to secede and create a new city with its own police force. Cameron McWhirter, reporter at the Wall Street Journal, says the idea, which has been gaining momentum over the past year, is raising alarm among Atlanta officials worried about a loss of tax revenue. Cam, how bad are things?
The crime situation in Atlanta and in a lot of major cities has been crazy relative to previous years, beginning with the arrival of COVID and then Black Lives Matter protests. After Black Lives Matter protests, there was civil unrest, and there have been lots of interactions between the police and city government over how to behave. And so there have been lots of issues that have led basically to a huge spike in crime. And that ranges from a rise in murders and rapes to drag racing and shoplifting. So it's really run the gamut. And Buckhead is the wealthiest and whitest part of Atlanta. And they're have been complaints in the past from residents there that they would like to, they weren't getting, they were paying high taxes, but they weren't getting the services that they paid for. That's sort of been a general gripe in Buckhead for a long time. But this crime wave has really sparked people to say, why don't we break off from the city of Atlanta?
Wow. What does the police department say about all this?
They say that they're scrambling to try to resolve, to beef up the number of officers in Buckhead. And also, you know, there's crime elsewhere in the city. They're trying to cope with it all over the city. We just had a mayoral election in Atlanta, and the new mayor, Andre Dickens, ran largely on a platform of I'm going to fight crime and provide more resources for the police. And he has just out of the gate, he just took office in January, and he had a press conference last week in Buckhead to announce that they're going to be opening a new office there and adding more officers. And he's really trying to dampen interest in this idea of Buckhead leaving, which would be, you know, we're talking about 100,000 people out of a city of 500 and some thousand leaving.
Yeah, that's important revenue to the city, I would imagine, too, in terms of taxes and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, this is by far the wealthiest part of the city. You have really, not everyone there is a millionaire, but you have mansions throughout that area. A lot of high-end malls are there.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it would be a huge blow to and a really complicated divorce. Really complicated.
We're speaking with Cameron McWhirter, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. His story is called In Atlanta's Buckhead Neighborhood, Rising Crime Fuels Move to Secede. What would happen or what would have to happen for a secession?
Well, there is a referendum that there's a bill that's been proposed to hold a referendum as soon as this fall. It is backed by two Republican legislators who do not live in Atlanta and do not represent Atlanta. And it would, if this referendum passed, there are a whole lot of things would have to happen. But if the people in Buckhead voted for to leave, to de-annex and then form a new city, which they would call Buckhead City, over the next several years, there would basically be this giant disentanglement of schools, water, who would pay for water, who would pay for schools, what is the tax revenue, all that, really complicated. But the message that's being sent by the group that is supporting this idea is pretty simple, and as there are a lot of people are very receptive to it, which is you'll end up with a lot more cops on the street and crime will go down.
Mm, got it. So it still could be potentially a couple of years if let's say, a new policing strategy does not materialize the way it's designed to in Buckhead.
Correct. I mean, this could take quite a while. I think the important political message is here. This issue is not going to go away, even if they're defeated, because there is a lot of frustration among residents of Buckhead, again, a very wealthy neighborhood of the city. And were somehow this to succeed, that would really send a message to a lot of wealthy sections of other cities that, hey, maybe we can just go form our own government.
Thanks, Cam. Cameron McWhirter, reporter at the Wall Street Journal based in Atlanta. Uncomfortable work attire is a thing of the past. If you're still trapped in suits and ties, make it your New Year's resolution to go casual at work. But don't dress down. Get some casual style that fits anywhere. That's what Cuts Clothing is designed for, to fit you and any occasion perfectly. That's how I feel about my t-shirts from Cuts. They look and feel great. Buttery soft. They move with me whenever I'm at the mic or at the gym. And while I could go on about their custom-engineered Pika Tri-Blend fabric, you really have to wear it to understand how soft it is. It's the ultimate blend of high-quality cotton, polyester, and spandex. The result is what GQ magazine calls the only shirt worth wearing. And now it's worth even more because it's an even better value. Cuts Clothing is work leisure apparel for the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's C-U-T-S. cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. cutsclothing.com/Gordon. Hey, thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday. It's time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we know commuting can be tough enough with plenty of obstacles to navigate without Mother Nature throwing any more roadblocks in our way. For example, thousands of riders on London's underground trains had to deal with delays and cancellations this week after a swan planted itself on the tracks and refused to move for more than an hour. 14 trains had their routes canceled or redirected while workers attempted to coax the bird off the tracks. Finally, the swan had enough lounging and decided to stand up, which is when London's Wildlife Protection swooped in to rescue it. Rescuers said the bird was underweight and they believe disoriented, which is why it decided to take a seat in such an unusual place during such an inconvenient time.
Okay.
Yeah. You look like you have something to say.
Yeah, I just like imagine like you're the head of this operation.
Yeah.
And I'm the reporter at the news conference.
Right.
Right. My question would be, did you guys just stand around and look at the swan while 14 trains, I think you said, had their routes canceled or redirected? Did you just stand around and look at the swan? Is that what happened here?
Yeah, I think this is the response in London versus the response, say, in New York. I was thinking about how this would happen in New York, and if there was a swan delaying trains for hours in New York, unfortunately, I don't think the swan would still be with us.
No.
I mean, it would either a team would have swooped in and gotten rid of that swan in about 30 seconds, or no one would have even noticed. And just trains would have continued to run, and unfortunately the swan would be gone to heaven.
Right, or an anxious commuter himself would have gone and removed the swan while the New York MTA crews stood around and watched.
Right, right.
Somebody
who's that late for work would have jumped in probably with a couple of people, right?
Yeah.
A team would have,
a
team of commuters would have kind of jumped in. Someone would have jumped in. People would have been holding their hand or whatever. You know, they would have pulled that swan out and get the trains moving again.
I like how you said, finally the swan had enough lounging. No. Yeah. Swans don't get to make that decision.
Right, yes,
swan can be safely removed. Trains can proceed.
Yeah,
done.
That is true. And it's no secret that bacon is very near and dear to many people's hearts. And as such, it can elicit very strong opinions about how it should be cooked for that optimal, salty, and savory taste that we can't get enough of. But however tasty, perfect bacon isn't worth going to jail over. That's what happened recently to one Florida man who was taken into custody after berating the staff at a Waffle House over how his bacon was being cooked. Cape Coral police were dispatched to the location and arrived to find the man freaking out over how the staff was cooking his bacon, dropping F-bombs and racial slurs in the process. Police say the bacon aficionado was also shirtless at the time. He initially resisted arrest but was finally detained and charged with several offenses, including, and not surprisingly, disorderly intoxication.
Ah.
Yes.
There it is. You tied it all together nicely.
Yeah, so you didn't have to ask your first question like you normally would in that situation.
I'm ticking off the list in my head. Shirtless. Cursing. Drunk. In a bacon fight, that's quite a night.
Yes. That's
by the way,
end your night.
I think you will have struck a chord here with listeners because you said perfect bacon isn't worth going to jail over. I think that's open for debate.
Some might argue with me on that one.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this guy for sure, but others who have their shirts on and were not drunk might also argue with me.
Right,
on that.
If you want to fight with Mike on Twitter, by the way, or debate him, you can find him at Radio Gavin 1.
Bring it on.
Thanks for joining us. The FBI says cyber criminals are targeting QR codes in an effort to steal our financial and other personal info. QR codes are a convenient way for us to do things like make payments and see restaurant menus through a cell phone camera. Now, some evildoers are tampering with QR codes by redirecting the scans to malicious sites. Tips to avoid becoming a victim? Number one, after scanning any QR code, double check that the URL is the intended website. Fraudulent ones look similar, but generally contain a typo. Number two, always be cautious when entering login, personal, or bank info to any website accessed through a QR code. Number three, make sure someone hasn't meddled with the code. One indicator, for example, is if a sticker has been placed on top of it. Number four, if a QR code prompts you to download an app, don't. Instead, get it through your phone's app store. Number five, beware of QR code scanner apps. Your cell phone likely has a built-in scanner through its camera. It's 8 minutes, rather, in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Biden says he has no intention of moving U.S. forces into Ukraine, making the comment as his administration considers a range of economic measures to punish Russia if it invades the neighboring country. Biden says any deployment of U.S. troops would be to reinforce NATO forces.
I've spoken with every one of our NATO allies in person, or not person.
virtually. And we're all on the same page.
The administration is speaking to allies about taking a range of potential actions against Russia, including barring tech exports to Russia as a way of targeting its strategic sectors if it invades Ukraine.
Number two.
The World Health Organization says the next COVID variant that will rise to world attention will be more contagious than Omicron. But the real question scientists need to answer is whether or not it will be more deadly. About 21 million COVID cases were reported to the WHO over the last week, setting a new global record for weekly cases. While Omicron appears to be less virulent than previous strains of the virus, the sheer volume of cases is crushing hospital systems worldwide.
Number three.
The Biden administration has officially withdrawn a rule that would have required workers at big companies to get vaccinated or face regular COVID testing requirements. OSHA confirmed the withdrawal, but still strongly encourages workers to get vaccinated. Amid a surge in inflation, the Federal Reserve today is expected to signal it's ready to raise interest rates as soon as March. The Fed short-term rate has been locked near zero since the pandemic began in 2020, which has fueled borrowing and spending by consumers and businesses, but also inflation. The Fed is aiming to curtail inflation without stalling the economic recovery. The SAT, once viewed as a critical step to getting into college, is shifting to a shorter and online format due partly to the pandemic and the tests growing irrelevant. Sean Abbott, Vice Provost of Administrations at Temple University, spoke with ABC.
The length of the exam is going to shrink from 3 hours to 2 hours. So I certainly think it's likely to take less of an emotional toll on students who will be taking the test.
The online format will start in 2024.
That new format still would not help me break 1,000, just for the record. Thanks, Jen. If saving money is one of your top goals for 2022, then stop paying insane amounts of money every month for wireless. Switch to Mint Mobile. It's the easiest way to save this year. Since Mint Mobile is the first company to sell premium wireless service online only, they let you maximize your savings with plans starting at just $15 a month. At Mint Mobile, all plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with all of your existing contacts. Choose the amount of monthly data that's right for you and stop paying for data you never use. They've eliminated the traditional costs of retail and you get the savings. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, visit mintmobile.com/Gordon. That's mintmobile.com/Gordon. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Gordon. Thanks for being with us. After the cancer surgeries and treatments, 17-year-old Maddie Barber of Texas had some partial paralysis on her right side. That kept her from playing favorite sports like volleyball. So the high school junior from outside San Antonio started raising pigs on the family's farm. The Washington Post says the family has had an overwhelming sense of gratitude since 2018 when Maddie was declared free from the brain cancer that had consumed their lives for 6 years. This month, Maddie figured out a way she could say thank you to the staffers at St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. She went to the Kendall County Junior Livestock Show, where young people show their animals and the audience offers donations as part of a fundraiser. That money is typically used for college or to buy more livestock. But when the auctioneer announced that Maddie was donating all the money she raised that day to St. Jude, wallets opened wide. The offers didn't stop until Maddie's pair of swine had fetched more than $30,000. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.